I am really excited to present to you the recovery story of Hidde. Now, this is a story I didn't see coming, to be honest.
You're hit with like depression and total brain fog and like all energy sucked out of you, and I felt really nauseous, like you were having the worst flu you can imagine. And I think one of the worst things was, at that point, I didn't know what was going on, like, at all. And nobody could really tell me. Insomnia is, like, the worst, especially combined with anxiety. It's like...
When I met him, things didn't look so nice. And along the way, he made some huge steps, and he is more than happy to share his new knowledge, his insights, and his transformation with you. Enjoy.
What it meant for me, recovery, was that I needed to learn how to feel again. And then when I had those releases, I woke up and I was feeling like calm and fine. And I was surprised, actually. I was like, huh? My crash was gone 2 weeks earlier than I expected it. I knew at that point, like, okay, this is it. Like, this is for sure what I need to work through to, like, get better.
Hello, Hidde. Thank you so much for joining me in this interview. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Bit nervous maybe, but that's okay.
I think we met online over 2 years ago, right? You were texting me, asking me questions. How did you feel at the time?
Yeah, that's correct. How did I feel at the time? Pretty terrible at that time. Yeah, it's funny. I actually found you through Kathleen from Primal Trust. She had a link to your program at the time. And that's how I found you. And yeah, I was in the middle of like a pretty big crash again. So yeah, I was not feeling great, to say the least.
And now to skip fast forward a few years, you sent me a picture that you were mountain biking. It's sort of like, this is for everyone. Oh, wow, he felt so bad, but now he's mountain biking. But then we go back to the start again.
Yeah, it was King's Day here yesterday in the Netherlands, and I went mountain biking with a friend. So we mountain biked for about 3 hours. Yeah, I didn't mountain bike for 12 years, so it was a bit of a getting used to it. But yeah, I can actually just do it at 100%. I don't need to like rest in between or, you know. Yeah, so it was great. And after that, I went to the city town with my girlfriend to go to a small party. Even that was good.
Amazing. And, so it seems like you're fitter than I am.
Yeah, I'm still getting I'm still getting that cardio up a bit.
So what happened 2 years ago?
The study next to the work, and I had a lot of, yeah, I was pretty much going on autopilot in my life. Not really doing the things I want and not being in a relationship I actually liked. So I had some weird symptoms already in the last like 10, 15 years sometimes, like small things that popped up and then they were gone again. But this time, yeah, they stayed around and they kept getting worse, you know? So one of the first thing I noticed was that I was getting like, in general, like less and less energy. And sometimes it got harder to concentrate on work, and just planning fun things got like impossible. I was always occupied with like things that needed to happen for work or yeah, stuff like this. And then about 3 years ago, I just Yeah, started feeling worse, and I got like this weird balance issue, like you were on a boat, you were rocking on a boat. I think it actually has a like a specific name, like
Vertigo.
no, it's like a rocking boat syndrome. You can Google it.
Really?
I had this for about 2 or 3 months, and I also got a bit more fatigue. And I went to the doctor to like get some blood tests done, and then after getting the blood, taken at the hospital, I fainted. And this was like basically one of my first like big crashes. And then it started to slowly deteriorate over the next 3 months, basically. Like it got a bit better, it got a bit worse. And then I got some bigger crashes where it got like a lot worse, until I like hit my rock bottom, which was summer of 22, so already pretty long time ago.
And you mentioned to me that you had over 40 symptoms. So that's like a lot. And what were the worst symptoms that kept you from having a normal life?
Oh. Yeah, I do have to say 40 is like the rocking boats thing was like I had the symptom at the start, but it was like replaced by other symptoms like 6 months later. So symptoms are just like they were never all 40 at once. The ones that were most terrible was of course the fatigue. But also during crashes, just the feeling of just basically feeling dead inside, like you're hit with like depression and total brain fog and like all energy is sucked out of you, and I felt really nauseous, like you were having the worst flu you can imagine. No muscle power. This was a terrible one for me because I was always like a track and field thrower, like javelin thrower, and then suddenly you're like super weak, you know? I also, in my worst crashes, I had pretty, I think it was like bots that I would stand up and like get really dizzy, like I couldn't really walk for a long time. So yeah, this were the worst ones. Like you couldn't even get mobile around the house. So I'm pretty lucky I wasn't like severe. At one point, I think I didn't leave my house for about 2 weeks. except for like very minor, like few minute walks, like around the house, and then okay, that's enough. Let's go back inside. So yeah. And I think one of the worst things was at that point, I didn't know what was going on, like at all. And nobody could really tell me. I went, of course, when it started, I went to doctors and I was like, yeah, Googling my own symptoms, like what is going on? Maybe it can be a burnout. And it's a bit of a weird label because burnout has like this big spectrum. In the Netherlands, at least, they say you have a burnout when you are like, oh, I feel like I really can't work anymore. Like I'm hitting my mental limits, and then people call in sick. But they can still do everything, you know? But they also call it a burnout when you kind of like get housebound or something. So it's a bit of a weird spectrum, and I never really got a like. Nobody ever told me like you got this diagnosis, like you got like I also had COVID at the time, but no doctor ever was like, okay, you have long COVID or something. But I also never asked for it. Like I knew at the time, okay, it's probably something like a burnout. I just have to try to pace, keep it easy. There's a lot of tips online what to do and what not to do. So I just started doing that. I didn't go to the hospital. Except when I got crashes and it got worse, then I contacted the what is it called? The general I forgot the word.
ER, doctor, general
practitioner. Oh, no, just a doctor. Just a general practitioner. And I asked him questions over the phone because I couldn't really visit him anymore at that point. But I didn't go to the ER. Like, I had probably some anxiety attacks, you know, but I never had this feeling like, okay, I have to go to the hospital, because I already kind of knew, like, okay, it's just this burnout thing and I just need to keep it easy. And but yeah, at some point I was like looking for answers a lot, so on the internet.
And you mentioned pacing. How did that go, trying to pace yourself gradually? Did that work?
Well, it did seem to work. That's the funny thing, because you know, I just kept moving really slowly, living very slowly. And then at some point I started like cycling a little bit. Okay, I can cycle for maybe 15 minutes. And then, okay, let's try this a few days, you know. And of course it seemed to work a little bit for like a month or 1.5 months. I like gradually like got better. But at some point something happened and then I had like another major crash, and then I needed to like start over again. Like, okay, now I'm even worse than before. Now I got to start like lower than before and like slowly build myself up again. So, but this got pretty, yeah, I got pretty desperate, because I thought at that point in time, I was told like, okay, this is your way out. You just need to slowly build yourself up and it will go with ups and downs, but it's like 2 steps backwards, 3 steps forward. But then at some point I took 5 steps forward, and then I had a crash and I took like 25 steps backwards, and then I did another 5 steps forward, and then I got another 20 steps backwards. So I was like, yeah, if I keep going like this, I'm not getting anywhere, you know.
And is that around the time that you went into the Primal Trust program?
Yeah, it took me around 5 months of like pacing. I also went on some medication for like the I forgot one terrible symptom, insomnia. Insomnia is like the worst, especially combined with anxiety. It's like I can handle insomnia when you're like calmer, but when you have like this major anxiety going on 24/7 combined with insomnia, it's like terrible. So I went to the doctor for like sleep medication, and at some point they just put me on antidepressants to at least like get some sleep back. For some people this doesn't work. For me this kind of worked. But it brought another problem, because I got like this zombie like feeling, this like my emotional, like I was never good with my emotions, but at that point I was like, I couldn't care less about anything. So I kind of lived in this semi-reality. I was like derealized all the time, but this was also because of the antidepressants. And this was around the time I started with Primal Trust. But it's a funny thing, because Primal Trust like starts with some polyvagal regulation things for your nervous system. And then at some point it goes more into the emotional trauma healing. But I was like, I don't have traumas. I don't have... I had like a normal childhood, I think. Like, I feel better already. I was like pacing a little bit. The medication made me like suppress a lot of things, so I could like slowly build myself up, like really slowly over the months. And I thought at that point, like, I don't need this. I'm just gonna slowly get out. And then at some point I will get off the medication and I will be like fine again. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it's funny. It did work like a little bit because in the fall of 2023, I was like using medications and pacing basically for like a year. And I was feeling like better and better. And I think I was not ready for it yet, but at some point I went on a vacation to England with the train. And then it kind of magically changed because on vacation I was like, hey, the symptoms were less, the fatigue was less, like everything was just easier. This was like my first big vacation in over 2 years, I think. And at that point, I was like, oh, it goes so much better than when I'm at home. I also had to build work up, of course, because when you call in sick at some point, they want you to get back into work and stuff. So I was working maybe like 20 hours a week or something at that point. But then on vacation, I could suddenly like do almost everything again. Also physically, like walk around towns all day. And, of course I was having some symptoms here and there, but it was way easier. And at that time, I also got off the medication because I was done with feeling like a zombie, basically. And that's where it turned around again because I got COVID twice in 1 month. And COVID gave me like horrible crashes. Like they lasted not that long. That's actually funny. Like I got a crash that was like maybe a few days. And then I felt kind of normal again. I was like, okay, we just continue, we just keep going. I had to keep building up the work, and I was trying to like do some more physical activity, and then I got another COVID infection, and my relationship at the time, we decided to break up, and this was like 3 days after I got COVID, and this was a little bit turning point, I think. Because this combination made me crash. Like, it was like I had a crash, and then I tried to recover from this for a few days, and then I had another crash and another crash, and then my ex moved out of the house and took the cat, and I crashed again. And this was the point where I knew, like, okay, I got back into researching. I found I found Dr. Sarno. I found out like, okay, there's like a lot of different labels for things that have like the same symptoms. And that's when I basically got back to you because I tried the pacing and the medication thing and all the tips that everyone gave me to like recover from this, from this let's call it illness. And then some small things happened and I felt like I was not back to like square one, but I was back to like almost to square one. So yeah, I was like, okay, I tried supplements. I spent like 1,000 euros on supplements in about 1.5 years. So that's pretty painful. I tried a different diet. There was someone who tried to help me and was telling me like that surplus of calories could really also help you with recovery. So I tried a
What is that
different diet.
exactly? A surplus of calories?
Just gaining weight basically. Just eating more calories than your like. If you need 3,000 calories a day, you eat, for example, 4,000, so that the body has like a surplus of energy and your metabolism can increase and stuff like this. So I also gained a lot of weight at that time. It was a combination of eating a lot with the medication, and the medication also made me really hungry. So I also gained like an enormous amount of weight in 1 year. But
Every time you tell me something terrible that happened to you, you start laughing.
because looking back, it was This like illness makes you so desperate for answers that you basically try anything what people tell you. So if someone tells you like, "Oh, this supplement helped me," then you rush through the store and you get this supplement and you're like, "Okay, I got all my hope on this like one supplement." And then you try to take this for a while and yeah, it's like I had this for a long time because I thought like, wait, this is the answer. Now, no, this is the answer. And if you look on spots like Reddit, yeah, you get like this. You get like all these people with all their different opinions and different supplements and different routines. And looking back, it's all like people are just looking for something to hold on to because they're like so desperate. And I'm not laughing because these people are not right or they are stupid or anything, but it's like we all make up so many things, like, okay, maybe this is the answer, maybe this is the answer, you know, and we try this combination of like 20, 30 different things. Because then maybe we get this it's like this line, you're bouncing on this line and you take the wrong supplements and you fall off the line, you know. And I realize now after a journey of 3 years that it's like this is just all not true. So this is why I'm laughing. The recovery is very difficult, but it's simple. Like you just need a few ingredients and yeah, you don't really need more than those ingredients. So if you get those ingredients pretty early in your recovery, then it can get so much easier.
Are the ingredients?
What are the ingredients? What is the magic thing? Well, that's difficult because there's a lot of people that, yeah, there's a lot of people that don't agree with it, I think. Looking back, I was always suppressing myself a lot. I didn't really cry for 20 years or something. I was really like suppressed. Looking back, this is like just from growing up, like how you are treated by your environment, your parents, your friends. I just felt as a kid like, okay, I'm not really loved that much. I'm not really wanted that much. So I was really trying to stay a little bit like invisible, you know, like, okay, I'm just gonna sit here. And as long as I don't really give my opinion, I cannot do things wrong, if that makes sense. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but what it meant for me, recovery, was that I needed to learn how to feel again. So I was always really flat. Like you couldn't really make me happy with a lot of things. You couldn't really make me sad with a lot of things. I was really like stoic, I think is the word. And because of this, I also was like searching for a lot of dopamine all the time, like heavy video games, playing shooters, you know, more the adrenaline like stuff. Same for sports. Like I wanted to, if I do a sport, I do it like 100% or I don't do it at all. Because I wanted to get good at it instead of enjoying it. So the ingredients for me, getting back to your question, was like, okay, how do I actually feel about this? What do I feel? How do I connect with my body? And I needed to work through a lot of stuff from the past. So a lot of grief, a lot of anger, a lot of things that happened to me, things that I missed out on as a teenager, as a student, or things like this. Because I was just stuck, basically. So the ingredients for me are really simple. You need to find some safety in your body. Because if you're not feeling safe, you cannot like things cannot come out, basically. If you're not safe, emotions from the past are not gonna come up and are not gonna get out. Then you have some safety. You have to learn to feel again. This is a very difficult one because I think that not a lot of people in our society actually can do this. Oh, do I feel angry? Do I feel sad? Do I feel excited? And then also emotions are always somewhere in the body. So where do I feel this? You know? Oh, I feel some anxiety. Where do I feel this? We all know that children are very good at this. They can have like, oh, I have a bellyache. I have a bellyache because I may be nervous for school. But as we get older, we learn to basically conform to society, push things away. Like, okay, I got a presentation, but I cannot show that I'm nervous. So I did this very well. I suppressed all my emotions, all my feelings. I just was like, I don't want people to see that I'm nervous. I can be this guy that's not nervous. I can be this guy that's, you know, not sad. And then I think those are two of the ingredients, like feeling and safety. And I think the third ingredient would be allowance. Very easy, like allowance of everything that wants to come out. And this can be things now in the present moment, but also a lot of things from the past. So a lot of things I suppressed as a kid have come out in the past year. Like a lot of things that I didn't that were not regulated at the time. Like they can come up, they are saved in the body, they are stored in the body. I think Bessel van der Kolk has a book about this. What is it called again?
Body keeps the score.
Exactly. So I think that if people are interested, they can read this book. Basically, it's about that things that happen to you as a kid, like these emotional charges, are never like expressed as a kid, for a lot of people because parents don't know how to regulate their children often. And then over time, like emotions are just stored and can be stored in the muscles and in the fascia of the body. And at some point, you get this like rigid body, like the muscles are all tensed up and sensitive. And I had this too. I always had like really sensitive muscles and they were always pretty short and like high muscle tension. And now I notice it so much less. It's actually funny. There's like a lot of side, there's like a lot of positive side symptoms to like releasing your old emotions. Like I feel more flexible. I would wake up with really stiff back very often after sports, and that's like gone, even though I'm 10 years older. It's also a funny one. I had sensitive teeth for 20 years. I always used this toothpaste for sensitive teeth, so I couldn't eat apples because then my teeth would get really painful when I was eating something else. And this disappeared over the last 9 months. Like at some point, I was noticing that like, oh, I can actually, my teeth feel a bit different. I tried an apple and it was fine, and now I can eat an apple every day and it's no problem. But it's just really weird what how strong your body can be when it can actually just do what it needs to do, basically.
Amazing. So then, that was like a little bit over a year ago, you joined the release program. And how did that program help you?
Yeah, I joined the release program, I would say the start of 2024, where I was just going up and down with crashes and stuff like this. So I started the program, and it started really slowly with your beliefs and journaling and static dance and like trying to connect more and more. But of course, it's very difficult because if you're having crashes and symptoms and everything is going on, like, okay, now I try to connect with my body, but it feels like so unsafe. So at the start, I had like baby steps, like, okay, a lot of the day feels like survival, but I also would try to implement things from the program slowly. And I tried some other mind body stuff on the side as well, like some journaling, where I already got like some small releases. Like I would journal about some stuff, like even just being sick, like writing about what it does with you and how you feel. I already noticed, like, okay, I feel a little bit better after I cry. So this was already giving me a lot of hope, like, okay, I'm on the right track because if I feel a lot better after crying, like usually you would have to wait a day, like, okay, I'm gonna rest for a day and feel better. And now it was like, okay, I cried for 15 minutes and now I feel better. So then I got further in your program and I had some bad crashes that last about 3 weeks. And I really remember this very well. I was getting to like the inner child part of the program where you really try to, connect with your inner child and your emotions. That day I cried a bunch. I had like some big emotions coming up and I was just freshly in a new crash. And I had some big releases. And it was pretty magical because the next morning I woke up and I always woke up nauseous. Like nausea and gagging and puking was one of my signature moves during a crash. I would throw up every morning when I woke up from stress, probably. And then when I had those releases, I woke up. And I was feeling like calm and fine. And I was surprised, actually. I was like, huh? I expected this to last another 2 weeks, but suddenly my crash was like, well, it took a night of sleep, but my crash was gone 2 weeks earlier than I expected it. And I was like, okay. I think this is I think I'm getting the hang of this, I think this is I knew at that point, like, okay, this is it. Like this is for sure what I need to work through to like get better. So yeah, from that point I just kept going forward, like new things started to come up, like new emotions. Sometimes just an emotion. Sometimes I would have weird feelings about it, or like a little bit, sometimes like flashbacks, maybe even. But yeah, they would come and go, and I got better at feeling them. Of course, there's a lot of moments when you're like in resistance, where you're like, okay, another emotion. I don't want to do this. I don't want to feel this. And then I would be in resistance for maybe a few days, and then my symptoms would ramp up again. So every time I got into resistance, I could do this for like 2 days, and then I would have a crash. And then I would release a bunch of those emotions, and I would feel better again. And then if I kept releasing, I would not have a crash, but then at some point I would be like in resistance again, like, I don't want to do this. I want to just live my life. Yeah, I think I was a bit stubborn, It took some time for me to get the hang of it. Yeah, but it worked.
So, and now whenever you still have symptoms, or
Sometimes, yeah.
are you able to then to do a guided session or to go in and have a release and feel better instantly?
Yeah, it's funny actually because I had a period of about 2 weeks in November where I like didn't have symptoms at all. But for me now, it's a lot about triggering myself or not. So if I, for example, go on vacation and do fun things without a lot of triggers, then I have like no symptoms. But if I, for example, go to work, and I'm challenged by some things that serve as a trigger of me not being good enough, for example, then I will get probably after some hours, I notice like, okay, I maybe get a little bit of fatigue or maybe a little bit of this. And then I can just go into a separate room and, do a guided session, or maybe I do it myself. And there's also a lot of, there's a lot of guided sessions in the program. So you can pick one that suits you, or maybe you're dealing with a specific symptom or a specific feeling, and you can pick a guided session that's suited for this. But I often also just feel like I breathe to my heart. I just take a moment to feel my body and to breathe through my body. And then I can already feel the emotions coming in like 10, 20, 30 seconds already. But yeah, there's no way I could do this 1 year ago.
And then after the 20, 30 seconds, everybody's listening. What happens then? What happens then?
Yeah, it's like, of course, I feel better. Yeah, I feel better after crying. But it's like you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. Like to get a full release, I need some more time. I can often get into the emotion a little bit, and then I can release a little bit and I feel a little bit better, right? But often I need more like a half an hour to really get further into the emotion until it really gets out. Sometimes I can cry very like deeply, like really like a child, And then afterwards, I feel really calm and really like, oh,
Best feeling in the world, huh?
the best feeling, very sleepy. Usually I'm just really sleepy and relaxed for about 30 minutes, 1 hour, but I can also release a little bit in 5 minutes and then just continue with my day. Like I don't need to get a deep release every time I have a symptom. I can also get like, okay, I can feel this a little bit, but I'm at work, so it's not always easy to cry and be somewhere for 30 minutes. So then I can just take 5 minutes of my time. Nobody knows this notices this. And then I can just continue the day. Yeah, but it wasn't easy. Like we jump over this a little bit, but like the when you're working with symptoms is it's not easy. I really slowly needed to increase my working hours while I did the releases last year. So very often I would be like, okay, I feel a lot of symptoms. For 15 minutes I go do this. And also when I had flare-ups, I don't like the word crashes anymore because it sounds like you're going backwards, like especially the word setback. I don't think setbacks don't really like exist. It's just like you have a new layer of emotions coming up and you get symptoms. And I see it more like an opportunity to actually heal something again. So I usually just use the word flare or something like, oh, I'm having a bit of a flare up in symptoms. But yeah, if you have a flare that lasts a few hours, because usually I cannot release flares instantly. Like if a flare gets too bad, I usually cry like a lot that day, and then the day afterwards my flare is gone. That's usually how it is. But if I'm taking enough time to actually release, I don't get flares anymore. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And physically, it's like I don't get PEM anymore. I would have like pretty bad crashes also if I like overdid it physically. And now I can more easily get a flare if somebody talks about me with me about more sensitive subjects from like that trigger me like emotionally. What do you want to do with your life? Or things from the past, like traumatic things that happened as a kid or something. Those usually crash me, or I wouldn't not say crash, but they trigger me more easily than like physical exertion.
What is it about the question, what do you want to do with your life, that triggers you and gives you symptoms?
Well, that's a very good question. Probably fear.
Fear of not doing it or not be able to do it.
Probably the fear of actually changing your life. Like, I was very comfortable in my past life. I was comfortably unhappy. So, you were not happy with the job, maybe, or the people around you, but at least it was all expected in your brain. Like, okay, I know who these people are. I know what to expect from my job. I know it's going to be shitty, but at least it's like a pattern. It's like you already did this for a few years, so you know what's coming. And then when you want to start something new, like find out, okay, what do I actually love to do? This can be very scary, of course, because it's far out of your comfort zone. And I would not say that I would not label myself like autistic or something. But I do know that I was always very comfortable in my own sort of bubble, I was always having this bubble, like, okay, I'm safe in this bubble. Even though I don't really like these things, at least I'm safe. And I also think this is more of a traumatic response for me from my youth, from my childhood. So if I want to step out of this bubble, this is of course a huge trigger for me because it feels unsafe, it's scary, it brings up a lot of emotions like, oh, but if I'm gonna do this, then how am I gonna keep myself safe? How am I gonna, do this, do that? So this is really, in this phase, it's pretty triggering for me because it makes me feel like you're stepping into the unknown.
So then you get emotions and then you get some symptoms.
Yeah, then I can get a, usually it's like a little bit of brain fog, or I get a bit dizzy, or I don't have fatigue that much anymore. I would have it at work sometimes when some people would be telling a very boring story. I would get this wave of fatigue over me. And it's actually funny because I recognized this fatigue from 15 years ago when I was in university, and a professor was telling a pretty boring story. Even though it was 9 a.m. in the morning, I would almost be falling asleep. And at the time, I didn't think much of it, but looking back now, I was just having a mind-body symptom. So it's funny that looking back, you can recognize that you were having some symptoms here and there already, but you just never noticed this.
Wait, so you almost fell asleep whenever someone told a story you didn't like?
Yeah, it wouldn't happen that often, but sometimes you would have like this lecture in college, basically university. And if it got too boring, I would just almost fall asleep. And I would just tell myself, oh, I probably didn't sleep enough.
And what emotion could that be then?
That's a very good question.
Have you found out? No, you haven't.
No, I'm not sure. No. Maybe you can tell me.
Sometimes when we have to endure things that we don't want to, we develop this sense of anger inside of ourselves. like, screw this, I want the other life. So, but then the other life is also triggering you with fear. So it's like you're never really free of triggers.
Yeah, and I couldn't get angry at the time. I think I had sometimes, very occasionally, when I was really pushed to my limit, I would have like this sort of anger outburst. I think it happened like twice in 15 years. I would have an anger outburst. But usually I was very good at suppressing my anger. I was always a bit of the pleaser. I would never get angry about things. So yeah, and of course, if you suppress this, you get a symptom. So in that case, it was fatigue. So yeah, coming back to the present day, I'm okay with having a symptom here and there. Just, it's funny because I can really see the pattern now. Like, oh, I have this symptom and I know why I have the symptom. I can make this connection from the symptom to which emotion I had. And I, 9 out of 10 times, I know I have this emotion because of this. This happened and I know why I have this. And I can also couple it to like my personality and my past and maybe some resistance I'm still having to my current life. So it's like all the pieces of the puzzle finally like got together in the last year and a half.
That's amazing. And it's also something important to say is that this magic recovery, which everyone is dreaming of, doesn't really exist. Because you're mountain biking, but sometimes you still have symptoms, and then you know how, but then you know how to release it. That's more of a reality than this point where you underwent some treatment, and from one day to the next, there are no symptoms anymore, and the symptoms will never come back once you recovered.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you're right. And there are of course some stories from people who have some mind body symptoms, and then they, it's like the other, I would say the other, like the Dan Buglio version of the mind body healing. It's like, okay, the brain is just tricking you. You can kind of ignore it and just like tell yourself you're safe and just keep going. I think this only works for if you have like one symptom, or if you're like having just, I don't know. There are some people who have these mind-body symptoms, but they, yeah, I don't exactly know how it works, but it works for some people. But at the same time, you're not living your authentic life if you do this. You kind of ignore the signals your body is giving you. So I don't really, yeah, those people say they can be healed very quickly. But I don't think you're healed at all. You're just ignoring the actual underlying issue, yeah. Which is just how you live your life, basically.
Yeah, I think that if you have a very small symptom, like a little bit of an ache, then it helps to not obsess about it. And usually it will wind down. But it, for me, for example, in my journey, I had like so many symptoms, extreme symptoms, and I was way beyond that point that was possible.
Yeah. And I also think it's very, I don't think it helps the mind-body community, because there's a lot of people with ME/CFS or long COVID, and they have terrible symptoms. And then when somebody suggests them to try like some mind body method, they're like, it's not in my head. It's like real symptoms. And then they find these videos where people are just telling them like, it's your brain playing tricks. Just try to live your life normally and it will go away. And then people get into more resistance to doing mind body healing because they think this is what all mind-body healing is. It's like, no, there's like different methods. And I don't really like the method of ignoring, because it kind of hurts the whole mind-body space, in my opinion.
Yeah, thank you. In my opinion too. Hede, thank you so much for this interview and everything you shared so far. Is there anything else that you would like to share for someone, like a big tip?
A big tip. I think watching some recovery stories really helps. Because the first step is to actually accept, like, okay, you know, I can get better. They feel like terrible, terrible, terrible symptoms. Like, yeah, they are terrible symptoms. But know that you can feel better. It will just take some time and it will take work. It's not easy, but I think everyone can do it. I didn't do everything perfectly. You don't have to do everything perfectly. Like, sometimes in interviews, people have like these lists of things and they make like this whole science project of it and they do this and this. I made many mistakes. I did it perfectly imperfect. But looking back to like a year ago, it's like, whoa, you know, it's such a big difference. So my tip is like, okay, to try to convince your brain, like, okay, I can do this. And, this is what will help for the symptoms and for your life. Also, it's actually really, the symptoms are like, for me now, the symptoms were like 30% of the whole thing or something. You know, there's this whole thing about being basically becoming more your authentic self and being way happier in your life. At some point, the symptoms will slowly be like a small part, and then the other part will become bigger. Like, your story will keep getting better, basically. So, keep up the hope. You will get there. And thank you.
Thank you so much for your time and for the interview, Hede.
Thank you. Have a nice day, Daniel.
You too. Bye.
Bye.